And so a number of years ago, when my oldest daughter got married, she called me and said, "Dad, I need your help in planning the reception." I was like, "Great." And she says, "What song would you like for the father-daughter dance?" No question, Butterfly Kisses. And that is truly us together there. And then she said, "Dad, what other song would you like at the reception?" Notice it was singular. One song. And I said, "Well, that's not a problem either. Cool and the Gang, Celebration." Right? I mean, what a great song. Celebrate good times tonight. Come on. There's a party going on right here, a celebration to last throughout the year. Bring your good times and your laughter too. We're going to celebrate and have a party with you. I mean, that's a great song. And if that song were written several millennia earlier, I think it would have been on the playlist for the party that Jesus talked about in the story of the lost son. Now, some of you may know that story, some of you may not know that story. So let me just fill you in on some of the details. The story is about a young man who demanded an inheritance from his father. He left home, squandered the money, and then found his way back home. This young man was reckless in the way that he lived his life. He was reckless in the way that he interacted with his father. And he was reckless in the way that he dealt with the inheritance. He found himself in need. He hired himself out to feed the pigs. And he thought, you know, maybe it'd be pretty good if I can get some of that food that the pigs have, because I don't have any. The good news is that he came to his senses. He realized that he had lived pretty well at Dad's house. And he decided to go back. And he tried to figure out, what am I going to tell my father? The even better news was that when his father saw him coming, he ran out to meet his son. He threw his arms around him in an embrace that only a father can give, and he kissed him. And then the young man got all the courage he could get and said to his father that line that he had practiced, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am not worthy to be called your son." But the father responded extravagantly. They put a robe around the son. He put a ring on his finger and a sandal on his foot. And he said, "We're going to have a party. The son who was considered dead is now alive. The one who was lost is now found." And they had filet mignon. It was a celebration. Can you hear the music? We're going to have a party tonight. Come celebrate. It's all right. But not everyone was ready for the party. And so I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 15 and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 25. I'll be reading out of the New International Version. It's a little bit different than the one in the pew, but it's close enough. Hear God's word. "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you killed the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, You are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for your word, and we ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. For you are the Lord of all. So open our hearts and our minds to hear afresh from you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Meanwhile, the word calls our attention to the fact that something else is happening. The story is not over with the younger brother coming home. There is another story, and that's always the way it is when siblings are involved. Isn't that right? I mean, there's a party going on, and big brother was not happy because he didn't know what was happening. He was in the field doing what he was supposed to be doing. He heard music, saw dancing, and wondered, what's up? Now, big brother, or in some cases, big sister, needs to know what's happening. It was like that in your family, wasn't it? We need to know. And so, what did big brother do? He asked questions of the servant. And the servant didn't elaborate on things. He didn't tell about the robe or the ring or the father being filled with compassion and running out to meet the younger son. He didn't tell about the embrace or the kiss. He was just making things short, sweet, and to the point. Your brother has come home. Your father has killed the fatted calf. And he's done that because your brother's safe and sound. You could just imagine this on Everybody Loves Raymond, couldn't you? Meanwhile, it sets us up for something, to learn something about the situation and to remember what's going on in this context. Remember the beginning of the passage? Jesus is talking with and having a meal with the tax collectors and the sinners. They're listening to him. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law aren't happy, and they're muttering about Jesus. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law wouldn't be happy with the fact that the younger brother would be a recipient of the father's lavish love, which in their eyes was reckless. And yet the call is to join the party, because grace cuts both ways. Now, emotions come to the surface. There's a party going on right there. And the older brother says, I'm not partying. He's angry. His father comes out to plead with him to come in. And the older brother says, I've got good reason to be good and angry. And as he spoke, his bitterness became apparent. And he let loose. You know, it was one of those conversations, like maybe you've heard at a party or at a gathering, where people start to have an argument and you kind of silently walk away, right? Because listen to what he says. Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. Now, you pick up the point that this older son is a little bit upset, okay? And so, I mean, it's like the little brother just got dinner at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with all the trimmings, with family and friends, and the older brother's complaining, says, Dad, you never even took us through the drive-thru at McDonald's. Right? The older son didn't understand what it meant to be a son. He missed the fact that he had been in the presence of the Father his whole life long. and his resentment and his anger had built up so much over the years that he's unable to see why his father is filled with joy and why his father would throw a lavish party. In the older son's eyes, the father was being reckless. Over the years, the older son had been compliant, at least on the outside. But on the inside, he seethed. Finally, all those years of stuffing that anger and that self-righteousness exploded. And the older son stood in judgment of his father and of his brother. You know, the older son wasn't unlike the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who were muttering about Jesus when he ate with the tax collectors and the sinners. Have we ever been like the older brother? Nah. Do we have years of frustrations and disappointments that we've allowed to build up in us and are just waiting to explode at that right moment? Do we at times wonder why new members get the same privileges as the rest of us? Do we at times wonder why one person got selected to be a committee, to be on a committee or to be an elder or a deacon and we didn't? Do we at times wonder how and why certain decisions are made, and when we find out we just sit there, okay, fine. If that's the way you want it, I'll just bide my time. You'll get yours. I've wrestled with some of these emotions myself. I grew up in the church. I was always there. I didn't have a choice. My parents were Sunday school teachers. Right? And as a middle school student, I was so angry that other people invited their friends to come on retreats with us because they had never been a part of the church. Can you imagine that? And then as a high school student, I really got upset that people began to suggest that we change the way that we've always done things. And then later on, in a congregation where I served, there were several leaders and I who were asked to park our cars at the furthest end of the parking lot so that we could be welcoming of visitors and show them the love of Jesus Christ. Yeah. At first I thought, how dare someone ask me to do that? After all I've done for this church, after all the time I've invested, you're asking me to do something like that? How dare you? And over the years, I've learned, how dare I miss the lavish grace and love of the Father? How dare I stand in the way of someone else experiencing that lavish grace from the God who loves us? We're called to join the celebration because grace cuts both ways. Let me share with you just a couple of observations about the Father. The Father loved his sons so much that he left the house and went to speak with both of them, when in actuality, he never had to leave. He would have been justified to stay in the house and wait for them to come to him. He ran out to greet the younger son when he was way off. He went out and pleaded with the older son, who was seething with resentment and bitterness and self-righteous anger. And my friends, our loving Father comes after each one of us in the same way. The loving Father lavished love on both sons. He killed the fatted calf and threw a party for the younger son. He reminded the older son that everything he owned also belonged to that son. My desire is that none of us would miss the Father. He has come to meet us in and through Jesus Christ. We see this as we come to the table. Because at the table, Jesus meets us and welcomes us with the lavish love of the Father. And we receive forgiveness. and new life. And we're called together in a community to do life with God and to watch Jesus work in our midst. We're invited to join the celebration because grace cuts both ways. You see, there's a party going on right here. A celebration to last throughout the years. Can you hear the music? The celebration has begun. And it will last into and throughout eternity. My friends, each one of you is invited to come. Join the celebration. Because grace cuts both ways. My friends, this is the joyful feast.